In a news update for August the 11th, 2022, on this Thursday early morning edition, part 4, continuing on with hour number 1 and going on to hour number 2 of the Alex Jones Show. We're broadcasting or featured on Sirius XM satellite network radio, and we're also on extraterrestrial satellite network. And we're also broadcasting across all podcasting venues where you find your content. Our podcast name, in case you miss us on the radio, is simply titled Top Headlines, National and International News Stories. That's how you find us. Make sure you click the follow or the favorite tab, depending on which podcast you find. We're on, just to give a couple examples, we're on Stitcher, we're on Spotify.fm, we're on Anchor.fm, we're on Google Cast, and we're on Podcast app, we're on Pocket Cast, and many, many more. Just to give you a few there. Let's get back to the show, continuing on where we left off here, and we'll move on to hour number 2 when this is complete. All right, so here we go, folks.
Put over the case. He then recused himself, but he should have been conflicted out to then sign this dragnet search warrant. But again, he was Jeffrey Epstein's lawyer for his pedophile scandal. Mar-a-Lago raid backfiring on establishment as Americans awaken to weaponization of the government. Trump shatters all fundraising records after Biden's FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago. Details of what FBI seized at Mar-a-Lago make FBI raid look downright scandalous, says Red State, and boy are they right. They took every piece of paper, including cocktail napkins and menus from the restaurant, not just out of his private apartment and private office and safe. That was empty, by the way. Remember the flashback? Schumer warned Trump about the intelligence community. Panic Dems scramble to redefine raid after FBI's raid against Trump backfires, Infowars.com. Judge who signed off an FBI raid made anti-Trump post, we're now learning, of course. Coordinated attack, Trump says Joe Biden knew all about the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago. And it goes on and on. Trump now saying the FBI could have planted evidence because they wouldn't let anybody have security cameras on. They wouldn't let them watch them as they dug through everything. Gee, you think these guys would actually set something up? Even Lindsey Graham on Fox News, we're going to play that in a moment, when asked about could the FBI plant things on people, play clip 5 in a moment, he had to say yes. Think about that. And it gets worse. We have a compilation video of Judge Reinhart saying it's okay that Hillary and others and Loris Lerner of the IRS persecuting conservatives destroyed emails and computers. But Trump, oh, he's a criminal. Trump says Mar-a-Lago staff and lawyers were blocked from watching the raid. And it goes on and on. And of course, here's the crack, one of the crack FBI agents that was there wearing their mask and all the rest of it, auditioning to be the star of the new Jabba the Hutt special that Disney is producing. But Mitch McConnell is basically silenced on it. Trump ally Rick Perry says the FBI seized his cell phones one day. Trump ally Representative Scott Perry, not Rick Perry, says FBI seized his cell phone one day after Mar-a-Lago raid. The dragnet, the desperate dragnet, just continues. The judge, you okay, Mar-a-Lago raid, is a big Obama donor. Well, of course he is. They're all part of the Epstein club. Trump raid sparked by boxes of materials, including Kim Jong-un letters and cocktail napkins. FBI scoured Melania's wardrobe at Mar-a-Lago looking for, I guess, her shoes. Deeply disturbed by these three things happening in 1 week, Helen Roy says, Alex Jones show trial, Mar-a-Lago raid, expansion of the IRS at the greatest level ever. And Google reports record number searches after the raid for the term civil war. What a time to be alive. But it gets even more insane. Hillary Clinton fundraises after Mar-a-Lago raid, brags about not getting same treatment. Here's the sickening photo of her. They photoshopped it on. It says, but her emails. So they can all buy a black hat with pink lettering saying, oh, but her emails, to make a big joke about it. Wow. Truly disgusting. Here's a close-up shot of it. Not that you want to look at Hillary too closely, but that is the rub it in your face garbage. But meanwhile, Trump-backed candidates sweep the board in the next group of primaries that just happened last night. So that's why they're so panicked. That's why these raids are happening. No amount of their propaganda is going to be able to reverse that. Here is Jesse Waters and Lindsey Graham talking about, well, everybody knows the FBI plant stuff. Yeah, and burns down churches and shoots women holding babies in the head at Ruby Ridge. Yeah, they're really nice folks. Here it is.
Of having you on, Lindsey, you know, you and I have debated about things, and I've seen you pretty spitting mad over Ukraine, but you don't seem as mad as you were about this than you've been mad about Ukraine. I don't understand why people aren't lighting their hair on fire. I don't understand why people aren't out in the streets. Yeah. This isn't like, oh, well, you know, let's just see what's in the warrant. I mean, they've been doing this. This is the third election. This is the third election. We know they doctor evidence. We know they plant evidence. Yeah,
sure.
We know they hide evidence. We know they lie. We know they leak. I mean, this is not anything new. This has been years they've been doing this. We can't just say, oh, you know, we're waiting for the guy to come out and give a statement about what is predicated. I mean, what? These people are out of control, Senator. This country.
And of course, don't forget in the Whitmer kidnapping plot led by four FBI agents and five informants, that they bullied and basically threatened the young men that were involved looking for father figures into agreeing that they would be part of a kidnapping plot, but saying, I really don't want to. But the FBI, it turned out, edited those audio clips to make it sound like they were gung-ho when they actually said they didn't want to. That's why they got, quote, off, because they didn't do anything wrong. And now they're on national TV saying they have my phone when they don't, and saying it's got January 6th evidence on it when it doesn't. A pack of liars, enemies of the people. Big news straight ahead.
Who listens to Radio X?
It is Babylon, and the people are rejecting it. 86,000, look at this number, 86,852 new IRS employees on top of the hundreds of thousands they've already got. And look at this illustration of your TV viewer by Mike Salona. Here is a 87,000-person stadium, the number of IRS agents Biden just forced you to hire. And the media is trying to spin it that they will absolutely not target middle-income Americans. That's a load of crap. They admit that almost all enforcement is against working-class and middle-class people, and that's in the funding. Actually took out a bunch of taxes for billionaires in the legislation. It's just amazing, the screw job that's going on. But, oh, they care about working people. That's why they have cut the energy supply and killed the pipelines and drilling, because they love you. While they move all the jobs to China and Mexico and other places. It's just incredible. I want to play this Judge Reinhardt when he's done TV interviews defending Lois Lerner of the IRS persecuting people and admitting she did it by the hundreds of thousands because they were conservatives under Obama. And who does Reinhardt support? He says he's an Obama follower. He loves the pedophile Jeffrey Epstein, and he's a big Obama donor. And of course, all the lawsuits that Trump files basically get handed over to him to kill. And that's why we're in so much trouble. But here's a few minutes of him defending criminal activity. And then we're going to play a little refresher on Lois Lerner and what she did under Obama, because it's about to happen 100 times worse. Here it is.
Being overseen by Eric Holder cannot be, you know, we won't see due process.
Yeah, it's offensive, not necessarily because I happen to know Mr. Cole and Attorney General Holder personally and like them personally. It's offensive because I served in the Justice Department under Democratic administrations and Republican administrations, and the same argument was made about both.
Being prepared for him. Finally, someone in the administration admits that the destruction of 2 years of emails from Lois Lerner is fishy. To you, does this pass the smell test?
Yeah, unfortunately, having been in government a long time, the fact that, let me put it this way, incompetence doesn't necessarily lead to criminality.
So, and which out of those two scenarios right there seems more likely to you at this point?
Within the IRS, probably incompetence. The IRS has one of the most antiquated computer systems in the world. And the fact that emails could have disappeared without Ms. Lerner knowing about it or Ms. Lerner being involved is entirely credible to me. And that, I'm sure, will be her explanation, is that she was a very high-level person in the department. when the subpoena came in from Congress, it was delegated down to people who did this for a living. They were instructed to find everything. Information came back up to her that said, this is what we have. She reported what she was told, and it turns out not to be true, but that's not a crime. If she didn't know it wasn't true, that's not a crime, and that's going to probably be where her defense lies.
You know, and shut it off. I can't listen to the rest of it. It came out and they testified that they were ordered to target conservative nonprofits and conservative organizations. Okay? So they got caught red-handed. There he is, back at the time, trying to spin it. Let's look at a compilation of some of the criminal things that happened under Obama and the IRS. And it's been true that since they got their political bloody nose, they have not been as bad as the worst period in U.S. history of the IRS targeting political dissidents. It's still been going on. We've been under audit here for a year. Didn't make a big deal about it. But the point is that now it's about to go into high gear. Here's a compilation.
Last week, the Supreme Court reversed a century of law that I believe will open the floodgates for special interests.
Then the IRS starts targeting conservative organizations.
Everyone is up in arms because they don't like it. The election commission can't do anything about it. They want the IRS to fix the problem.
Can you give us assurances that the IRS is not targeting particular groups based on political leanings?
First, let me start by saying yes, I can give you assurances.
Targeting scandal broke, the early political narrative was it was the fault of two rogue agents in Cincinnati.
Lying IRS employees in Cincinnati improperly scrutinizing 501c4 organizations by using words like Tea Party in quotes and Patriot.
It wasn't a couple of crazy people in Cincinnati that this information actually went up to the chief counsel of the IRS, which was one of two political appointees by the President of the United States and the entire IRS.
Not answer any questions or testify about the subject matter of this committee's meeting.
The ayes have it. The ayes have it. Contempt report is ordered, reported to the House.
He was held in contempt.
But the committee has asked for every single... I asked for it clear back in August from Danny Werfel. And he told me the same thing you did. We're trying, we're hoping, we're going to get there someday, sometime. We want them all.
IRS commissioner says the agency lost.
Since Lois Lerner first pled the fifth in 2013, congressional Republicans have been pushing her superiors for all her emails dating back to 2009.
Do you believe in the Easter Bunny? Do you believe in Santa Claus? Do you believe that Lois Lerner's emails just suddenly went poof?
I don't believe you. This is incredible.
Continued on.
By way of illustration, had these rules been in place during the presidential race in 2012, the ACLU would have been limited in its ability to even mention President Obama or Governor Romney during a period covering almost 300 days of that year.
The new definition of political activity could not be more targeted at Tea Party patriots if the IRS had spent the last 3 years, 2 months, and 10 days drafting rules specifically to silence us.
And now the January 6th committee and executive orders by Obama, that's who Biden is, the third Obama administration, is declaring their political opposition domestic extremist and terrorist. Think about how ruthless these individuals are and sending the FBI out to PTA school board meetings to intimidate the public. They want war with us. They're at war with us. They have a special guest on that, the third hour. They have a big guest, Lee Smith, on the ongoing coup. He's an expert on it, big journalist, big author. Next hour. Let me talk about some really good news. We are selling a massive number of signed Alex Jones books. It is going to be a Herculean effort, but we need the funds. It is a fundraiser. You can buy the book for like $24 by itself, hardcover, amazing, the blueprint of the globalist at InfoWarsStore.com, or you can spend $99.95 as a fundraiser and get a signed copy from me. We need the funds. It's a war. Get this historical blueprint and a memento of how you helped keep the tip of the spear on the air at such an incredibly critical point at InfoWarsStore.
For less than 20 minutes, Alex Jones questioned the official narrative of the Sandy Hook school shooting because for the so-called truther community, that was the big story. And so he did his job and covered the story, just like he's done for the other 1.8 million minutes of his career. Alex Jones has been questioning the official narrative of the corrupt mainstream media and exposing the authoritarian cabal hiding in the shadows for 28 years. And over time, this revival of truth has grown into millions worldwide. Alex Jones expanded his broadcast by selling a line of products focused on healing from the toxic world of a corrupt system, which has allowed InfoWars to remain a free public broadcast to combat the dangerous lies of the mainstream media. In 2018, with zero evidence of their wild claims, a George Soros-funded lawsuit was filed against Alex Jones and InfoWars. 4 months later, Big Tech removes InfoWars from the internet. We were meant to be destroyed 4 years ago, but thanks to an awakened audience that cares about the truth, the InfoWars signal has only grown stronger. And now they are no longer hiding the fact that they are standing on the graves of dead children and using their grieving parents as a political weapon to silence all of alternative news media.
I ask that with your verdict, you not only take Alex Jones' platform that he talks about away, I ask that you make certain he can't rebuild the platform. That's what matters. Take him out of this discourse, of this misinformation, of this peddling of lies, and make sure he can't do it again. Alex Jones is patient zero for our society's inability to speak without lies. He is patient zero for alternative facts.
And according to Judge Gamble, acting like O'Brien straight out of George Orwell's 1984, the judge decides what is true.
You may not say to this jury that you complied with discovery. That is not true. You may not say it again. You may not tell this jury that you are bankrupt. That is also not true. You're already under oath to tell the truth. You've already violated that oath twice today in just those two examples. It seems absurd to instruct you again that you must tell the truth while you testify. Yet here I am. You must tell the truth while you testify. This is not your show. Do you understand what I have said?
Yes, I believe what I said was true. So I don't.
Yes, you believe everything you say is true, but it isn't. Your beliefs do not make something true. That is what we're doing here. Just because you claim to think something is true does not make it true.
There's going to be a large set of plaintiffs who are going to be dividing up the corpse of InfoWars in the bankruptcy estate.
The decision to terminate the InfoWars broadcast is not in the hands of this crooked cabal. It is and always has been the will of our audience that decide our fate. The InfoWars audience has mobilized and awakened the world to the threat that is globalism. And with your continued support, we will keep going. Join us now and support the InfoWar.
All right, we have an expert on the ongoing deep state permanent coup, Lee Smith. We come back in T-minus 60 seconds. Tell everybody you know, tune in.
Be right back.
InfoWar number two of this embattled pro-human, populist, pro-America transmission. And I've been wanting to get him on for a while. It's just perfect timing that he is joining us today with the deep state permanent bureaucracy trying to stay in power and trying to cement its permanent coup. Lee Smith is a veteran journalist whose works appeared in Real Clear Investigations, The Federalist, and Tablet. He has deconstructed the Russiagate hoax and the greatest coup against a president in the history of America in his last two books, The Plot Against the President and The Permanent Coup. He's uniquely poised to discuss the latest FBI raid on Trump's residence. He's worked in media for 30 years, writing about national politics, foreign policy, and the press. Smith reported from the Middle East for a decade after 9/11 attacks and wrote the critically acclaimed Strong Horse, Power, Politics, and the Clash of Arab Civilizations. A senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, Smith is a frequent guest on You Name It, Fox, CNN, everything else. Truth Social at Lee Smith on Twitter, Lee Smith, DC. Lee, I've got a lot of questions, obviously, but I think I should just let you roll here with, as an American, as a journalist, as a leading expert on this permanent coup, what we're witnessing and how you would describe this as a historian in the future, looking back on what's currently happening.
Well, first, Alex, I just want to say it's a real honor to be on with you today. Thank you so much for bringing me on. I really appreciate it. And yeah, it's an especially meaningful time. I saw you were speaking with Steve Bannon yesterday. And I really appreciate the two of you speaking about how important this fight is, how important this struggle is, and exactly what we're fighting for. And our ancestors are looking down upon us from beyond, and our children, our children's children, will be speaking about this time for generations. It's extremely important what we're seeing unfold here. And you mentioned something before about my book, The Strong Horse, which was reporting from the Middle East. I think one of the clearest ways to understand what's happening here is we're seeing combined efforts of the media and the intelligence services. And this is typical of third world security regimes that we see throughout the Middle East, whether we're talking about places like Egypt, Lebanon, Iran, the press, the media, it's the propaganda operations. This is the outward face, the public face of the spy services. And that's what we're seeing here. And this is what I described in The Plot Against the President. And it's also what I described in The Permanent Coup. The Plot Against the President is a story in particular about Russiagate and how Congressman Devin Nunes really uncovered that scandal and how he pushed back and how he fought back with very little help at first from the Republican Party. They were all scared. And I think that one of the things we're seeing right now, of course, is a lot of Republican officials, even after the raid on Mar-a-Lago, a lot of Republican officials are still scared of confronting both the FBI and other intelligence services. And that's a real problem, that our political instrument, that the Party of Freedom, that our political instrument inside of Washington is worried about confronting the enemies of the American people inside Washington.
Coming up next segment, I'll play a clip that's been making the rounds again of Congressman Ron Paul when he was first in Congress back in the 80s, talking about the danger of the FBI becoming a Praetorian Guard like a third world country and overthrowing the Republic. That's why when it was set up by Woodrow Wilson, a lot of people in Congress said this would end up happening. And the FBI has a long history of political operations, but now it's become purely political and is completely naked.
Yeah, I mean, just to go back to that book I wrote on Arab civilizations, look at that time. This was right after 9/11. That's when I moved to the Middle East. And we were under the impression then that, or I was, you were saying something different, and you were correct. You were right about different things like the Patriot Act, different problems. Glenn Greenwald was right. A number of different people were pointing this out, whether they were on the right or whether they were on the left. They were saying, look, here's what power does. It will corrupt our system. And this is precisely what happened. with the FBI, with the CIA, and then they added security services like DHS. So we've seen the problems with that. And I think if you look at what happened in the immediate aftermath of 9/11, that's when things really started to spin out of control. So the people, as Rand Paul still fights against this, as he still talks about the problems with the intelligence bureaucracies, this is a fundamental struggle right now for the country.
And when it came out last year that the National Association of School Boards had, and the Democrats low level had sent letters to Homeland Security asking them to treat protesting parents who might raise their voices as terrorists, the Fed said, oh, they didn't do anything about it. But it turned out the Justice Department asked them, the letter is now public, to do that. So they even want to target parents at PTA meetings. I mean, this is a real desire. Then last year, as you know, Biden said the main threat is domestic extremists now and directed all the agencies internally on the people. So this is really the classical signature, isn't it, of a country declining into an all-out police state?
Absolutely. Look, a lot of this stuff has been, you know, it's not only been test run in the Middle East by security regimes like that, but by China as well. If you look at what happened right after 9/11, the Chinese went to George W. Bush and they said, you want our help on the global war on terror? You want us to stand aside when you go into Iraq? Here's what we want in exchange. We want you to designate a Uyghur group as a foreign terrorist organization. The Bush administration, because they prioritized Iraq, because they prioritized the global war on terror, they went ahead with the Chinese on this scandal when the Chinese basically wanted to designate an entire minority population, the Uyghurs, as a foreign terrorist organization. That's exactly what the Biden administration did after Joe Biden's election. They decided to designate everyone who didn't vote for Joe Biden as a domestic terrorist. So a lot of the stuff that we're seeing here, look, I'm not blaming foreign countries. What's being done to Americans right now is being done to Americans by our own government.
Absolutely. You're using your gravitas, being a top reporter that witnessed this for a decade in the Middle East and study the relationships, to see that the classical paradigm of a domestic Hitlerian style takeover, the same way Hitler got control from 33 to 40 before he launched the main war, is what they're also doing here. This is a tried and true checklist Right. They're following.
It's just shocking for us, though. I mean, I appreciate how difficult it is for so many Americans to look. I mean, I've been speaking since that book, The Plot Against the President, came out. I've been trying to explain to people. I've been saying, look, the issue is not that the press is lazy. The issue is not that the press is biased. The issue is not that the press missed the story. Right. That's not the issue. The issue is strictly this, as you said, with third world security regimes. The press is aligned. Right. It's part of the operation. And I think that this is one of the things that's become very clear to people right now after the raid of Mar-a-Lago. I think that people understand that this is what's happening. This is a third world style security regime. And everything they're doing can be understood if you understand how these totalitarian regimes work. And look, this is a totalitarian regime. What we mean by that is not only the methods, but the way that it tries to insert itself in people's lives in every way, right? You must be vaccinated. They're going to interfere with your own bodily integrity. You must be vaccinated. Then they're going to mess with your children, right? No, we can say whatever we want about your kids and their gender identity. Never you mind. We can say anything we want about your kids and race.
This is a full spectrum takeover.
Yeah, of a totalitarian regime. Absolutely. Trying to invade every space in American society, including the individual space.
And cutting off sovereignty. Absolutely. You're on fire. And cutting off the energy supply, shutting off not just the Keystone Pipeline, but thousands of spurs, stopping most of the drilling. I mean, we are under siege. How do we get out of it? How do we unite peacefully and stop this? Lee Smith is one of the leading intellectuals on understanding this. We're very honored to have him. Dr. Beatty also does a great job, but this guy is amazing. Lee, we'll be right back. Please stay with us. We'll play that Ron Paul clip from the 80s as well. Ron Paul, more than 30 years ago, warning about the FBI.
most of our history, we didn't have those institutions. The FBI came in during the First World War, and interestingly enough, the one thing that Woodrow Wilson did, he used the FBI to spy on American citizens and actually arrest them if they disagreed with his foreign policy about going to war in Europe. And isn't it interesting how recent they used it in the Vietnam era? Democrats used it there, and Republicans used the FBI to spy on 100 different groups in this country, including the churches, who disagree with the policy in Central America. It almost looks like the FBI was designed to spy on Americans who might be disagreeing with policy, especially the foreign policy. So the FBI, although I don't think I could condemn everything they've ever done, because I'm sure some of the investigations and investigation of crime has been beneficial, but that could be accomplished through Justice Department within our states. We wouldn't reject that portion of it. But I think the FBI has kept and continues to keep a lot of records on a lot of individuals. The CIA has only been here since 1947. Their record is lousy. I mean, just think of the CIA used by the Democratic administration to...
As we were sitting here during the break, it broke in court in Michigan that the FBI didn't just falsify records and edit tapes to have the so-called militia say they were going to kidnap her. They were leading it turns out. They now have admitted they planted the explosives, and the people they charged had nothing to do with it. So surveilling people, planting evidence on them, doctoring statistics, claiming that we had the biggest year of domestic terrorism ever last year because they added basically all people that are white committing crimes as terror. It is unbelievable. If there's a checklist of tyranny, author Lee Smith, they are really going down the line and making sure they've checked off every box.
Yeah, this is exactly what's happening. And look, you hear a lot of talk. People will say, well, I don't know. Let's see. The FBI definitely needs reform. I think if you look at how the FBI started and the FBI's role the last several decades, I think that we have to conclude that this is an institution that America is better off without, right? We hear about the different, look, and it's not just going after domestic terrorists, right? Meaning people who didn't vote for Joe Biden, in particular white people who didn't vote for Joe Biden. We also look at the long history, and this is stuff that Glenn Greenwald has been really great on, talking about how they've targeted Muslim Americans, right? They've gotten, they've been trapped a lot of Muslims here during the global war on terror. So I think if we look at this record, we have to recognize that this is a very destructive institution. It's destructive American peace, prosperity, and also friendship. This is one of the institutions that's breaking the friendship that the American people are supposed to enjoy with one another. What have they done instead? They've made the American public suspicious of each other. I don't know. Those look like domestic terrorists. I don't know. That guy's a Muslim terrorist. This is supposed to be a country that's supposed to thrive, right, on its affection for one another. We are our own center of gravity, the American people. It's not Washington. It's not the FBI. It's not the White House. It's the American public. We are our strategic depth.
Well, you're right to point out, even the New York Times, back when it wasn't totally pro-1984, had headlines saying majority of terror plots hatched by the FBI, and it was had the number 97 out of like 103 cases over the decade previous to that. They had gone and found usually autistic or borderline mentally retarded Muslim young men and literally posed as imams and commanded them, in some cases harangued them for years, to agree to go bomb something. Well, that's not catching somebody. That's leading people into terror. And so we now know persecuting Muslims was the training wheels. And now, like in Indiana Jones and the temple where he's trying to get the statue and put the sand on the lever, Raiders of the Lost Ark, it's the same way. They're moving Muslims off the persecution point. They were the training wheels and putting conservatives and patriots now is the new target. The bait and switch just happened right after January 6th, but they were already preparing it before.
Oh, they've been doing this. They've been doing this for quite a while. As you spoke, you mentioned the Michigan case, the Whitmer case. You know, some of the great reporters on that. You mentioned Darren Beatty. Darren is Darren is great. Julie Kelly is another great reporter who's been on this. And one of the things that they've written about is, you know, is this some of the so-called members of this so-called militia? I mean, there was a guy who was sleeping in a vacuum cleaner repair store. I mean, what the FBI does, it appears, and I know about this from Russiagate, what they do is they go after people who they feel are not connected. They feel that these people are, however they would describe it, they feel that they're loners, they're weaklings. Look at who they went after to get the spy warrant on the Trump campaign, Carter Page, right? This is not a well-connected Washington guy. This is someone they figured that they could target. This is what they do. They go around picking on people they figure that they can go after. They think of these people as weak people, when in fact, Carter Page is a great guy, really smart guy. They went after George Papadopoulos. They went after Michael Flynn. They feel that they can go after people who no one else is looking out for, no one else is protecting. It's a very, very sick organization.
It certainly is a very, very sick organization. I remember back in the mid-1990s when I was getting politically involved in things, and I wasn't in militias. I wasn't calling for violence, and I had FBI informants repeatedly come to me and say, you know, let's carry out an attack, let's do that. I'd go out and get their license plate, and I'd go have it run and find out they actually worked for the feds or were agents. And it was so naked, where I'd be, you know, at a event or something, just signing autographs, and somebody walk over, hey, we ought to blow up a federal building. And then I'd say, really? And then we just follow them outside, and they'd be in an unmarked police car. I mean, it's very ham-fisted, too, how they do this.
Oh, no. I mean, we've all seen the videotape now of Ray Epps, right? And you have, I mean, it's great because the guy starts mouthing off about, oh, we have to rush him to the Capitol tomorrow. Tomorrow we're rushing into the Capitol. And everyone around him is looking around, is this guy serious? And they say, they start chanting, Fed, Fed, Fed. That's how obvious these characters are. And thank God that the American people are starting to recognize what's going on right now. And again, one of the things that happened with the raid, a lot of people are like, well, you know, I actually did think, even though I recognize there are problems with the FBI and DOJ, this whole thing just seems like a shipwreck. It seems absolutely 100% unsalvageable. Look, it's going to be some time before the American people can do something about it. But right now, I think that all of our attention is focused on this stuff. This is a very, very important thing. So what the raid represented is something horrible and evil and an awful turn in our country's history. But just the way that you and Steve Bannon were speaking about yesterday, that there is a general awakening going on right now. And this is a very positive thing, right? It's a positive thing insofar as Americans see that we're in the middle of a real struggle for the future of our country, for what's going to happen. And so the more and more that Americans can see, unfortunately, these heartbreaking things that happen to the soul of a country, the more Americans can understand what's happening, the more that we can embrace each other as fellow Americans and say, we got to fix this. This is really terrible. This republic is not going to make it if it keeps going like this.
You're absolutely right. Of course, you pioneered exposing the Russia hoax, which they now admit was a hoax, in your book, The Plot Against the President, that became a movie, a major hit documentary.
Yeah, it's a great Amanda Milius.
Our listeners know all this, and actually you're sick of hearing that we're not Russian agents, but I'm going to walk through the attempted framing of Trump, because that's the new version of what they're doing, and then how do we stop this? And looking forward into the future, what do you expect in this escalation of deep state tactics, permanent coup tactics, for them to do next? That is so critical with 90 days to the midterm elections. We'll be right back with Lee Smith. Stay with us.
Talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be.
I don't need to tell you that Jack Posobiec is completely dialed in to the American resistance. He wasn't just in naval intelligence. And I can tell you that he is a real patriot. And when he tells you something, you can bet it's true. And it's not just Jack Posobiec that's a source. It's a lot of key sources I have inside. The deep state's desperate. They have every intention of indicting Trump. They have more than 20 fraudulent rigged investigations going on right now. This raid is just the beginning. Here's the latest emergency report issued by Jack Posobiec.
Donald J. Trump, his personal residence was raided yesterday by the American Stasi, the FBI. And so in this program, we're going to go through the modern history of this organization. But that being said, we could go all the way back to the storied days of the FBI's founder, J. Edgar Hoover. And I'll tell you something right now, I'm sure that wherever he is right now, enjoying the heat down there, he's smiling that they're keeping his legacy alive. This is what the FBI has always been. A weapon utilized against the political opponents of the regime. And we're not even going to go through all of their history from the 1960s and the 1970s. You can go look it up. We've covered it on other programs. But this is what they've been doing for a long, long time. Okay, maybe I'll throw one out there in the last segment, but you're going to have to stay tuned for that. They're going to claim this is overclassified material. And I stayed up last night until 3 a.m, working my sources, working the chain. Did President Biden know about this? You better believe he did. President Biden and Chief of Staff Ron Klain found out about this while Biden was in quarantine for COVID. He's still in quarantine for COVID. Chris Wray signed off on it, the FBI director, but it's really being driven by Attorney General Merrick Garland. Garland is seeking an indictment of former President Trump. I'm going to say that again, and I'm going to foot stomp it. AG Merrick Garland, Biden's Attorney General, is seeking an indictment of President Trump. Why? You'd have to ask him. Personally, I think it's revenge. I think he is working out some deep-seated revenge fantasies that he has because he views the right in general as being the ones that blocked him from getting what he always wanted. Like Gollum's ring, he wanted that seat on the Supreme Court, and he doesn't care what he has to burn down to get revenge on the people that he believes took it from him or denied it to him.
Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me.
Running down a way of life.
Running down a way of life. I'm fighting it all from
Lee Smith. Getting back into the raid, what it signifies, clear move to indict President Trump. You've got a lot of history on this. What do you gut level see them pulling, and what do you expect the deep state to pull out of that bag of tricks they've got?
Well, I think Jack is right. I just add one name to that, and that's the number two at the Justice Department, who is Lisa Monaco. I believe that she, you know, she was also a participant in Russiagate. As part of the outgoing Obama administration, setting up, the preposterous idea that Donald Trump was a Russian asset. So that's another name I'd put out there, something else to be looking at. I thought from the very beginning that they went into this raid that it has nothing to do with classified material, that they're using that as a pretext. It's a fishing expedition. They're looking for whatever they can find to tie him to, you know, January 6th. If you look at how the Mueller investigation ended, right, they couldn't prove collusion. What they tried to do was they tried to move it to an obstruction case. There was no obstruction case. Bill Barr, for all of his faults, came in and said, you guys have to end this. It's over. Enough. They weren't able to make an obstruction case. There are thousands of people throughout Washington, D.C., most of them Democrats, but not entirely, who are furious they weren't able to get Mueller to lay those obstruction charges on Donald Trump and charge him right then and there and frog walk him out of the White House. I believe that this is the same kind of case they're looking to make right here, because this is the case they've been making against lots of January 6th defendants, obstruction cases. I believe that this is precisely the case they want to make against Donald Trump now regarding January 6th. I don't think it has to do with classified information. Of course, they could take basically anything they want and get Trump convicted in a Washington, D.C. court. But I think this is about something else. I think it's about January 6th, because this strikes real regime core interest, right? Because it's about opposing Joe Biden. It's about opposing the regime. The men and women who went out on January 6th to exercise their First Amendment rights and protest, looking at the very least election irregularities, insofar as they were opposing the regime, this is a core interest to stop this. I believe that this is what they need to go after Trump for. And I think that we are more than likely to see an indictment by October. I think that for me, the only question, and it's not that big a question, is whether they try to do to him what they did to Roger Stone, what they did to Peter Navarro. You know, whether they handcuff him and whether they do this in front of CNN, and of course the dangers that would lead to, the kind of the spiritual blow the country would absorb, especially the America First faction. It's hard to anticipate on this side of it. But
well,
I think they're
already claiming, oh, armed people are coming to Mar-a-Lago. They're going to attack the FBI. I think they have a history of provocateuring. They just got caught with Ray Epps on January 6th. They got caught red-handed in multiple ways with the Whitmer kidnapping plot that was completely synthetic. And so clearly they're trying to elicit some type of right-wing response, or at least claim it's a right-wing response when they stage something. I'm really worried about false flags. I'm really concerned about that. But before we get to that, what is your view on Bernard Kirk, the former New York police commissioner, saying next move is they'll try to kill Trump? I agree with that. Or they could kill Biden and claim the right wing did it as a false flag. I mean, to me, those are basic authoritarian moves they've done in other countries. If I was them and I was a psychotic sociopath, I would do that. I'm not saying I would do that.
Right.
I don't want Biden or Trump to get hurt. But the point is that I think people need to understand there's a major escalation in everything they're doing. What do you expect them to do next? Are you concerned about an assassination of Trump?
I mean, not really, but I have to say we've seen different things happening here over the last 5 years that would have been unimaginable to our grandparents, right? They would have, for all the different problems that this country's had for a very long time, I don't think anyone would have expected the different things that, again, that we've seen the last 5 years.
We're seeing recklessness by the establishment.
Oh, look, it's evidence of weakness, right? These are desperate, sick, and crazy people. It's very reckless. And even though we say, well, look, that doesn't make sense, this White House is reckless, right? So it's certainly possible.
The Jan 6 committee knows they don't have my phone. They just made that up. CNN admits they don't have my phone. Oliver Darcy did because he talked to him, but it's all a lie. I mean, just everything they do is just insane lying.
Right. It's the whole thing is very, very worrisome because it is so reckless. And this is part of it. Look, I started to notice this during the COVID lockdowns when we started to see, I was living in Washington, D.C. at the time, and I started to see the people who were on the street, and I started to see interactions between human beings in supermarkets, and people were so anxious and so tense and so crazy. Then I started to realize they forced us to live inside the heads of very desperate, crazy people. And that's what this regime is. If you look, they go from operation to operation, whether it's Russiagate to Kavanaugh to impeachment to George Floyd to COVID to January 6th. These are mentally unstable people.
To monkeypox.
Monkeypox live like that.
Exactly. Monkeypox hasn't killed one person.
Exactly. It's the same thing. And part of it is operational. The other part of it is emotional and spiritual. These people are all over the place. They're destructive and chaotic, and that's the world they're trying to make us live in.
That's right. Stay there.
We can't let that happen.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more.
Not just America, but the world is at a crossroads right now. You can't hear from President Trump on Twitter because he was banned by big tech, but his son is still there. And put out this announcement with links to the National Archives and the New York Post reporting it. At the end of his presidency, Barack Obama trucked 30 million pages of his administration's records to Chicago. More than 5 years after Obama's presidency ended, the National Archives webpage reveals that 0 pages have been digitized and disclosed. And the truth is, the president, under executive privilege, has that power. And then they decide what to put in their libraries. The idea that Trump can't take documents out that are his is preposterous. Lee Smith, I could ask 100 questions in the 8-9 minutes we have left in this segment, but what facets of this incredible decline of our republic do you want to cover next? And perhaps you've got some ideas for solutions on how to reverse this trend, but as you said, the recklessness of these anti-American forces that are in control of the intelligence agencies, the media, everything they do fails. They overplay their hand, but they just launch operation after operation after operation. And all the aggregate news and polls show they've lost credibility. They're destroying themselves, but they're still in power, so they can't help it. They never give up. If they were smart, they'd mitigate. They'd back off. We'd go back to sleep. But instead, they are just crazed and wild-eyed doing this. What do you predict the different scenarios are?
They're desperate and dangerous, desperate and extremely dangerous, likely to cause trouble, not just here at home, but likely to cause trouble abroad as well, as they already have. Engaging in more pointless, strategically pointless foreign conflicts. I think one of the most important things is before we start looking at solutions, before we start figuring out how to fix it, which of course for us, the advocates, the believers, the faithful in the constitutional order, it's through votes, it's through organization. That's what our struggle looks like. The other thing is for everyone, if they are reckless, the more reckless and the more crazy they get, that means the cooler, the more detached, the more responsible we should be. As I said before, history is looking at us. History, our children, our children's children, generations will talk about this, about how we respond, the demeanor and the discipline with which we respond. There couldn't be more at stake right now. I think that's the central thing that we need to do and get ready, because I think that things are going to get worse. I think that they are going to try to, I believe they are going to charge Donald Trump, and that will, they are looking to cause mayhem. They are looking to disorient people. Look, if we look at what's been happening here, right? It's an intelligence operation insofar as they've wanted to destroy, Donald Trump. They wanted to destroy the America First movement. But running parallel, there's been another operation too, which is something, of course, you've been talking about from the beginning. It's a large information operation. It's a campaign of desecration, demoralization, destabilization. They're looking to dispirit the American people. They're looking to demoralize us. That's what they want to do. So the more and more that Americans can respond, the Americans who believe in this country, again, the discipline, the calm, the demeanor with which we respond, that will make us stronger. It will make the country stronger as well. I think that's the key fact. Don't be demoralized. Everything they're trying to do is to demoralize us, whether it was COVID lockdowns, whether it was burning down monuments during the George Floyd riots, whether it's rewriting American history with the 1619 Project.
They're trying to get us into
demoralization.
They're trying to get us into a civil war.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why I say the more calm we can show, the more demeanor we can show, we're not going to be lured into your garbage. We don't believe in your idols. The things that you believe in, we don't believe in. Right? It doesn't make us conservative or doesn't make us traditional or whatever. It just makes us American. These are American values, right? The more that we can show that, I think, the more that we can discipline ourselves to get through this, right? To get through it, showing what American champions have shown from the very beginning, from when the country was first settled. These are what American champions look like. But before I forget, I just want to come back to something. It reminds me of what I'm saying, reminds me of what you said in the very beginning at the top of the show when you were talking about energy, when you were talking about how they're trying to destroy energy infrastructure, and this will hurt people from moving around. You know, it's not just about going to work in your car, and it's not just visiting family and stuff like that. But movement has been a part of who we are as Americans.
Movement is freedom. Movement is freedom.
Exactly. This is what teenagers understand. You grow up and you get car keys and like you have freedom. This is what we all understand. Look at all the great movies that are road pictures. Get on the road. I have to figure it out. I have to fix myself. I have to, you know, fix my family. Just get things in order. And you go on the road. You look at things. Jack Kerouac wrote one of the great American books about it. On the road. This is who we are. So to try to take that. To try to take that from us, because this is part of it too. Again, it's a campaign of demoralization. You Americans think you're one thing. You're not. You're garbage. We're going to take all these.
They're trying to
break
our will, as a classic Tokyo Rose outside enemy would do. And in the process, Hollywood's destroyed itself. The left's destroyed themselves. They are committing suicide while trying to force the West to commit suicide. All we have to do is not commit suicide and stay strong. As the French say, the best revenge is living well.
I agree. Absolutely. And that's what I mean. We have to, it's always a time for politics, but it's especially a time for, I think, for people to go and build their families, build their communities, spend time. That's the source of our strength. That's the real source of our strength. That's the source of our political organization.
I totally agree. And that's why they said the churches can't be open, but the liquor stores and Walmart can be.
Yep.
It's all a raw exercise of power to see what they can get away with, because they know this big Ponzi scheme of the central banks is coming to an end. And that's really why they're desperately testing everything they can to try to get a path to a permanent dictatorship so that we can't unseat them. This is all a sign of weakness. I totally agree with you. I want to hit one final story here. This is out of The Atlantic, owned by the Jeffrey Epstein supporting widow of Steve Jobs. And it says, where does Alex Jones go from here? And it says, we can't stop him unless we arrest him. We need to put him in jail. That's what the article goes into. And that's really their answer, is put their opposition in jail. Ladies and gentlemen, they fear InfoWars because we're a populist movement that tells the truth. That's why they misrepresent what we've done. And people need to see this as a real sign of how serious these people are, because they have converted their average minion that gets a paycheck to actually believing we're Dr. Evil or we're the James Bond villain, when Klaus Schwab and the New World Order, these are the real James Bond villains. And the average person is not buying them trying to cast us as the bad guys. But again, these reckless globalists don't know how to give up.
It's the default move of mentally ill people all the time, of dangerous mentally ill people. I want to put my political opponents in jail, lock them away, throw them away. That's the default move. Look, we're watching you all the time here, and your stuff on Klaus Schwab is great. One of the things that gets to me, I can't believe this. Like, we've been making movies about Nazi villains for how many decades now? This guy dresses like a Nazi. He talks like a Nazi. He has ideas like a Nazi. And no one else, it's only a fraction of the population that turns around and says, this guy sounds like a Nazi. It's ridiculous. I can't believe the fact that this guy is getting away with acting like a cartoon figure of a Nazi. And hardly anyone else is pointing that out.
That's right. All right, Lee Smith. People can find your books, The Plot Against the President and The Permanent Coup. And they can also see the film that was made into that, The Plot Against the President. Totally vindicated. Thank you so much, sir, for the time.
Thank you, Alex. Thanks very much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. We're going to do a deep dive on the economy and the shutting off of the infrastructure and the IRS next hour. We have a special guest joining us separately. I'm going to do it. I'm going to sign these books. I'm not complaining, but it's going to be a Herculean effort. But I want to keep us on air. People have... Knowledge is power, that the people perish for lack of knowledge. And we see Homeland Security announcing that anybody that protests an election or forced injections is a terrorist. Anybody that doesn't want critical race theory taught to little children that they're bad because of what color they are is evil. Anybody that doesn't want five-year-olds taught to change their gender and have the state take over control of their lives is bad. And now 86,852 new IRS agents, on top of the massive buildup under the third administration of Barack Hussein Obama through his puppet Biden, has been announced. And it all ties together. This image of a baseball stadium that holds 87,000 people, that's how many IRS agents to harass you that they've set up. Here's some of the other economic news. Egg prices in the U.S. jumped 47% as food inflation hits highs not seen since 1979. Facing Russian gas cuts, Europe dims lights, cools pools, and shortens showers. Wall Street Journal. It's the Great Reset. You own nothing, have nothing. You like it. Robot arms are replacing shelf stalkers. How bad are your favorite foods for the environment? Scientists create impact scores for the carbon for 57,000 products that they're going to put taxes on, with beef topping the list as the worst and energy drinks as the best. Energy drinks is the best. New York City secretly exports homeless to Hawaii and other states without telling the receiving politicians. Look at this spin from CNBC. Consumer price rose 8.5 in July, less than expected as inflation pressures ease a bit. So record level inflation is easing a bit. And I have a clip here in my list where Biden says we've had zero inflation. He means month to month, it didn't go up this month, which they're cooking the books.
It's going
up. Anybody can tell you that. So the reason I called our guest, who's a lawyer and one of the top